You're listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. I'm your host, Todd Atkins.
You're not going to introduce me?
You can introduce yourself here, big boy.
And my name is Daniel Lim.
You said like a large man.
Yes, like a large man. I have no idea how to take that.
You do have an abnormally large torso.
I do.
Because if we're sitting next to each other, we look like the same height, or you look taller.
Yes, and even. I'm 5'11", and you're
6'3",
6'4", or something like that.
It depends on the shoes.
Whether you're wearing your platformer shoes or not, with your bell bottoms.
The ones with goldfish in them. The goldfish, by the way, do have a lovely Lifeway Leadership logo branded into the side. All right, we are back talking about Pipeline Week. If you remember, Pipeline is the philosophy and framework that underlies everything we do. You may have heard this like 2 years ago when we first started, but I would challenge you, friend, to listen to it again. If you think you understand, walk through it with us one more time, because I guarantee you, you're going to hear something that you didn't key in on before. Mm-hmm. You are a different place in your ministry than you were before, and it might hit you differently. So today we are going to be talking about what, Daniel?
My favorite. It's my favorite. It really is.
Derby pie?
No.
Have you ever had derby pie?
Key lime. I like key lime.
No, if you have like Kentucky Derby pie, it will be your favorite. Trust me. For multiple reasons.
Okay. We don't need to go about that in the podcast. I can assume why, but
it's chocolate.
Yeah. Chocolate. Chocolate's the best. Love it. Keep going. But I love systems, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Systems.
Systems.
Systems. Systems. It's not a scary word. Systems may seem complex, right? Systems may seem complicated, but they're required in order for you to scale.
It's really simple systems, if I might add, because what we're talking about is scalability. Mm-hmm. When we talk about scalability, when we talk about systems, some people, you know, it makes them shudder if they've had a lot of Greek and Hebrew sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
we both had Greek and Hebrew.
Yeah, exactly. It's not systems are policies.
No,
these are the framework. It's the framework, the structure to help you scale.
The book of Numbers and Deuteronomy. Seriously.
Did you say Deuteromony?
No. Deuteronomy.
Okay, you probably did, but...
It's in the Pentateuch.
Yeah. Okay, what was that word? What was that word that we disagreed with? Sacerdotalism is what you said?
Yes. What about it? You want to go there right now on
this
one?
That was episode like 5.
All right. Forget it. Well, I'll talk to somebody else about sacerdotalism another day. Book of Deuteronomy, think about all the processes and systems, and this is very instructional on how you do this. Mm. So it's not unholy to think about this is how you do
this. Can I do my Todd Atkins spiel on systems?
Go for it.
Our bodies have systems, the solar system. Sorry, I can't do it.
But you know what?
Nevertheless, this is important. I'm so glad we're talking about it today.
Everybody listening to this, you are not a good leader unless people can do, your staff can do a good impression of you. You're not a good leader because that means either they're scared to.
I think you just put our audience up to something. You know those, you know those tracks where people just pull out sound bites?
Yeah.
Someone can do that right there and go, you are not a good leader. You are not a good leader.
People should be, your team should be able to do a good impression of
you. Hey, if you do that and you do an impression of Todd, we're going to send you slack. No, I'm serious. Try to do it. Okay. That's going to be awesome.
Whatever. Please listen to this episode. It will help you with your systems, I promise.
Yep.
And one more thing. We do have a discount code for the conference that's coming up in October, 5LQ25. I kind of want to say that almost like I'm hiking a football.
5LQ! Yeah, 25. And if you do that, that's 25% off not only the day, the conference, but yes, I understand football because of the TV show Friday Night Lights. But okay, but you have that day, and it also applies to the Pipeline Coaching Day and the Succession Coaching
Trifecta.
Day. The Trifecta Bundle. 25% off.
To Derby Pie. It's lovely.
All right, let's listen in.
It's like a pecan pie with chocolate underneath.
Are you ready to jump into these questions?
Absolutely.
All right, let's hit our first one. And that is, What are the systems in a leadership pipeline? So today we are covering systems, and that sounds maybe not the most exciting, but if you are a leader, you know that they are essential.
Less than sexy.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, don't delete yet. Don't X out yet.
Hang with us.
Hang in there.
Systems.
So they do sound. They sound really boring. Andy Stanley said, and I will add a word to it. I hate to do that because the quote is so good. But I think he said one time, systems create culture. I would say systems help create culture. I want to just soften that statement a little bit because I think.
He's a master of provocation. So he says things to make you go.
Well, then he did great with that one.
Yep.
It's a great statement.
He's a master.
Systems are super important because they really do execute and implement all that you're talking about. They actually help create momentum. They help create the culture of the organization. And so a pipeline, if you're going to talk leadership development in your church, you actually need a system to help make it happen. So,
and just to clarify, this is not a computer system or a technological system. This is an organizational and management system of how things are done.
So Todd last session, when we talked about what leadership pipeline is, he mentioned briefly, which I love the language, experiences, coaching, and knowledge, that really you need all three of those for somebody to be developed. All right. So I want to stay high level for a moment and then get you down to systems because I want to hopefully embed in you, the listener, a desire for the system. So think about this. If you're listening because you clearly care about leadership development in your context, you want people to become developed and you have a conviction for that. You want to see development take place in your context. Well, the person who's going to be developed. So Brian, he's in your church or Susan.
Brian's a great guy.
I like Brian a lot.
Brian, he's a great guy, but he's not yet reached. Hasn't been challenged. He kind of is attending. Maybe he's in a Sunday school class or a small group. And you see though in him a lot of potential. And so you want to see this person developed. Our research shows, and even when you just look at the text and you look at Jesus with his disciples, I spent a lot of time looking at how Jesus developed his disciples. And basically through these three categories or these three lenses, Brian's got to have some experiences that develop him. I mean, the work develops you. The ministry
on the job learning.
Yeah, it's on the job learning. He also needs some coaching. He needs someone who then helps him process what he did on the job, what he did in the role, what he did when he went on that mission trip or he led his first small group session. And then there is knowledge. There's knowledge. He needs to be taught the right competencies, the right information about how to lead. So knowledge, experiences, and coaching. So what are the systems? Well, think about it. Okay, what system helps him get the experience? What system helps him receive the coaching that he needs? What system helps Brian receive the knowledge that he needs? How are you going to be sure that Brian receives this knowledge? That's really a system. You know, how are you going to deliver the knowledge to him? What's the mechanism that you're going to use to ensure he gets the right experiences? That's really a system. And so a system is the how. How do we, in a leadership pipeline, how do we ensure the people that we're shepherding receive knowledge, experiences, and coaching?
And it's really, I would add to that, it's really a combination of the processes, procedures, programs. It's a combination of those individual parts and how they're gathered together to get somebody, you know, through that process. The interesting thing that I think there too is when you think about it, the more complex the system is, the greater potential it has to fail, or the more misaligned systems are in your organization, the greater potential that it's going to fail.
And a lot of that's because complexity leads to misalignment. When you have a million pieces, it's very easy for them to get out of whack.
Yes.
Or a million steps, or I mean, a million anything. It's very hard to keep them in order. So let's hit our second question. So that's just sort of a basic overview of what is a system and how does it fit here? But the second question, as we often do, is why are they so important? We need to know why these matter. Why are they essential? Why should people pay attention?
Mentioned earlier that a system helps create culture.
it also a system helps scale. Mm-hmm. So if there's not a way to scale how we're going to deliver the knowledge to the people that we're developing, then you'll likely not deliver knowledge to more and more people. You know, it'll just be based on your ability as the leader to meet with every single person. And so a system helps you scale. Mm-hmm. It also helps with consistency. And so as leadership development in your context becomes more and more important and other people are developing leaders, if you don't have a system, then people can start developing leaders a multitude of ways and move in a plethora of different directions. So systems help create culture, they help with scale, and they help with consistency.
Is there an... This is more of a conceptual question, but is there a friction between systems and sort of a relational, organic kind of culture? And I ask that because some people will see that as a dichotomy. Yeah. They'll say, you know, we do things relationally, and that seems antithetical to systems.
No. I would say that a lot of times when I hear someone say we have an organic approach, it means they have no approach.
They have a disorganized approach at best.
It's not a question of one or the other. It's a question of intentionality.
Okay.
So I can intentionally build the relational pieces into a system. It's important to do that because, you know, leadership development is not a result of a program. It's often a result of a relationship. Those things spring out of relationships. It's one thing Eric mentioned, knowledge,
systems
experience,
put people
and coaching.
In the position for those relationships.
Yeah. Yes.
I think it also, they can create space for the, mm-hmm. for the relationship. So think about it. If you don't have a system, you're constantly rethinking so many things instead of having the margin to actually have relationships because you're rethinking some of the simple steps. I'll give you an example probably one of the most basic systems in a church. One of the most basic systems that a church would have is, how do you follow up on first time guests? Mm-hmm. Or how do you follow up on even someone who's a new Christian? So a church typically will put a system in place on, here's how we follow up on first time guests. They receive this email, or they receive this card or this phone call, whatever the system is. Imagine a church without a system. Every time the staff gets together on Tuesday morning or Monday morning after the weekend worship service, and there's a list of everyone who registered their kids and their first time guest. And then every single week it's, hey, what do y'all want to do this week to follow up on all of these first time guests?
Right.
So then there's all kinds of discussions, moves in a plethora of different directions. So there's a lack of consistency from week to week on how you actually follow up on first-time guests. But then also think about how much time is spent...
wasted.
Without the system.
Yeah.
So the system of, no, here's how we follow up on first-time guests. The system actually helps you be more relational in your, not only in your staff meeting, but even with the people that are those first-time guests. So don't view a system as contrary to relationships. View it as it actually serves as a baseline to then allow you to do a lot of relational work.
The interesting thing about systems and intentionality that we mentioned earlier, you know, so often you hear about excellence, excellence, excellence. It's really hard to do anything excellently if you don't have a system, number one. Number two, if you have a system that is intentional, many, many times that automatically will equal excellence.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I think the flip side of this is that poor systems become very cumbersome. They are a hindrance to excellence. You know, a system that slows everything down, that bogs people down, that makes people miserable. And I think those are the systems that people see as antithetical to relationships. Everything has become so structured that there's not room for those things. Whereas the systems you guys are talking about are things that are creating space, creating next steps, creating very clear action points. But that leads to our third question, which is, you have good systems, you have bad systems. Every organization has systems, even if they aren't labeled as such. In order to revise and refine them, they have to be audited. You have to look at your systems and go, what's good, what's bad, what needs to be fixed. So where does an organization start in auditing their systems?
I'll give you a great example of, you know, something that's really common, really basic, that is part of a system and probably or should be part of a system in every church. And that is leadership applications. So when we started to get really serious about campus development, launching multiple campuses in short order, obviously pipeline is important, but digging down, systems are important. So one of the things that I audited was how many leadership applications do we have at the church? And what do they say? What do they, what does a leader look like in one organization?
An application when I apply to be a volunteer?
When I apply to be a small group leader versus a greeter versus
So you don't mean applications like an app on my phone or an app on my computer. You mean like an application process to serve in the preschool ministry, to serve in the,
So, and what we found was 26 different leadership applications.
Which indicates that each of those roles, even if they are essentially, I mean, we talked in the episode we did yesterday about competencies at different levels. Even if the majority of those service roles have similar competencies, there's a different application for each, which implies that they're all pointed in different directions. They're all doing different things.
Yes. But well, I mean, what you can what we ended up doing was having, 80% of the questions were the same across all those ministries. We ended up boiling it down to getting to that point where, hey, 80% of our questions are the same. Now, if you want to add a page to the back of that, or if you want to add another, whether that's online, add a page, or if that's a hard copy that you print out, that's what the individual ministry did. Or they waited until they had the individual conversation to ask those types of questions. But we were able to create a baseline automatically for what types of questions do we ask? What is the basics of what a leader is at our church across all ministries, across all campuses? What is it?
Well, I think it's telling that you had applications at all, because I think there are a lot of churches that just do cattle calls for volunteers. And so their system is, hey, we're short on people. Let's put out word and take all comers. And so they're systemless. Or, I mean, I guess it's a de facto system by lack of system.
So, right. So you were starting with, it was important enough to have a system. You just had a bunch of them. And so I'd say, how do you start auditing? You really need to ask, okay, what's really important to us? What do we want to accomplish? And is there a simple system to help us? And so in your example, what do we want to accomplish? Everyone asks that, hey, we want to be sure we have leaders who are, we don't want to just throw anyone into a spot. And so we want to have a process that we put the right people in the spot. But the second answer would have been, oh man, this is complicated. We got a ton of them. And so, ask yourself, what do we want to accomplish? And then do we have a simple way to help make that happen? And then that's when you discovered we have a way. It's just, it's too cluttered. There's too many paths.
In addition to that, I would say first of all, I've consulted with a dozen churches that, I haven't found anybody who has less than five leadership applications, by the way, when they first do this. Even people that think they have their house way in order will have some of that overlap.
Well, five is a lot better than 26.
It is. It is. But where I was going with the next phase of that is looking at stuff like job descriptions. And, often there's probably a lot of listeners who may be working at a church and don't have a job description. And it's things like those basic things, even the job description of a volunteer. So we ultimately ended up with a one-page template that went out everywhere. And it was, hey, what does the volunteer role look like, for this volunteer role, whether it's preschool or small group leader, or, being the social event planner in a small group. We had a standard one-page thing so that everybody, again, knew where they were going, where they fit in. That's just another example of a process put in place. So if you go on Ministry Grid, for instance, that's one of the reasons why if you look at small groups, you're going to see those sample type job descriptions. So again, when you listen to this and you hear, man, this sounds really, again, it sounds really complex. Well, if you have those things in place, if you have those template things in place, if you simplify and align your systems, it's going to make this whole process immensely easier. The reason why we start with this is because this is where often it most breaks down.
When you can get, you get bogged down so quick in bad systems. Good. And I do want to take a step back because we're talking about systems and we talk, you know, job applications and greeter follow-up and these different kinds of things. Those are examples of systems.
Right.
But all of this falls in the context of leadership pipeline. That is what we are talking about. So systems as a whole are one of the key ingredients to an effective leadership pipeline. So just keep that in mind, listeners, as we're talking about this, because all of this is aimed at helping you and your organization develop your leaders. So the systems piece is one of those key pieces. So what we were just talking about is applications for volunteers and things like that. You mentioned complex organizations. There's a million of these things. So our next question is about complex organizations, and that is, how do you align systems? So Todd, 26 job applications, you aligned that particular system in one way. Lifeway, when you guys came in, where's 1,500 employees here in Nashville, or 1,200-ish, and a lot of systems to be aligned in all sorts of ways.
Yeah.
So how do you align systems in a complex organization?
It can be super overwhelming if you're going to try to simplify and narrow all of the systems.
Right.
I mean, it's overwhelming. So I'd say you start with what's most important. Identify what's most important, and do we have clarity and simplicity of systems for what we're saying is most important? Which is why I'm glad we're talking about leadership pipeline all week long, because we're saying to church leaders, more than anybody, to church leaders, we're saying, pastors, staff, Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, you've got one job, and it's to equip people for ministry. Leadership pipeline is a system as a whole, really, to help you develop leaders. So you view leadership pipeline as a system that helps you develop leaders. And then if you double click leadership pipeline, what's the systems that help you deliver and execute leadership pipeline? So what's the system that helps you deliver knowledge? What's the system that helps ensure you have coaching conversations with your people? So a system for coaching conversations might be, we ask all of our small group coaches to meet with the people who they shepherd once a month and ask them these three questions. That's a system.
Yep.
A system for content, for knowledge is, hey, here are the sessions that we want you to interact with and the questions that we want you then to answer with your leader, you know? So those are systems. So what's most important in a complex organization, because there's a million things in a complex organization that are already in place. If you're a pastor who's walked into a context that's been there for a long time, even if it's only been there a couple of decades, it's gotten complex. What's most important that we're going to go after, and do we have some systems set up for that?
So part of the reason why we're talking about, we're breaking down this week the way we are, you know, we start off with, you know, the what and the why of leadership pipeline. We move into systems and structure, people and content, is when I sit down with a church and I ask them, hey, do you have more than enough leaders? When I sit down with the church staff, everybody says no. I mean, you know, leadership and leadership development is one of the key problems that a church will say that they have, is developing leaders. You next ask the staff, what is keeping you from developing leaders? What are your challenges? And they will inevitably write down the same 7 out of 10 things. If we boiled it down to 10, 7 of those would be common across all churches and organizations. The other 3 might be, you know, specific, but they're going to break down those into 3 categories, which are systems, structure, and most of the time, people. They don't get into the content piece until you bring them through that. But those 3 things. So honestly, I think one of the ways that you can identify where the biggest pain points are is basically gathering your staff together and asking them those 2 questions. Do we have more than enough leaders? Do we have enough leaders to grow to get to where we want to go? The answer is probably going to be no. And then the second question of, what are the challenges that you're facing? What are the challenges that we're facing in leadership development? What is keeping us from developing leaders? And I guarantee you, it'll be very quickly that you'll begin to see the structure pieces and the systems pieces pop up. And you'll be able to say, okay, those are the first things that we need to tackle.
And so we're talking about aligning systems. And that's, I mean, alignment
is a word picture for getting things together in a line towards a specific end. And the end we're talking about is leadership pipeline. It is leadership development. We talked about auditing systems, that examination of all the systems in place to see what's working, what's not, what's archaic, what needs to go, what needs to change, which leads to our fifth question about changing systems, because a lot of organizations have systems that have been in place for a very long time and really need to change.
Yep.
But they are deeply embedded into the culture of the organization. And so how do you change a system that is out of alignment, that you've audited, you've seen it's not in alignment? How do you change that archaic, out of touch system that really needs to either be done away with or updated to a current relevant aligned system?
I have three steps. I'd start with a why. Here's the why. Here's the heart behind the change. It could be, hey, things are too complicated, or it could be, hey, there's a theological or ministry philosophy embedding that we want to do. Here's what's important around here. I mean, you start with the conviction. Here, you start with the why, and then you can pilot in a few areas to build some momentum, and then tell those mm-hmm. stories. So number one, start with why. Number two, pilot it in a few areas. And then number three, tell the stories of the fruit that you're seeing.
Do you have some examples, maybe from here at Lifeway or past leadership and church experiences, of how you've done the piloting piece? Because I think that's a piece we've seen that work really well when churches are, for example, figuring out how to use Ministry Grid, because trying to implement a training system across an entire church mm-hmm. is overwhelming. But if they take it in a specific ministry area with an invested leader, it can work really well, and then expand out from there. So any examples that you've seen?
I have a lot of examples from that principle, mm-hmm. The principle of piloting in one area to build some momentum. I can think when we launched the Gospel Project here from our division several years ago, we did things a bit differently with that team than we had done with some teams in the past. Mm-hmm. And so we use the learnings from that, the momentum that we grabbed from that, to apply to other areas. So you can, instead of feeling like you have to, Jim Collins talks about mm-hmm. do a bullet before a cannonball.
Yeah.
And before you shoot like this massive, huge organizational change that's going to blow everything up, do a bullet, shoot a smaller gun. And then when it bears fruit, then you're able to introduce the great stories to the whole.
Yeah.
So, but now who you pilot with is important. I mean, you gave an example of you don't pilot with the negative people.
No,
you don't pilot with the, you actually choose the highly competent and
the energetic. You need to know where the energy is.
The people who want to barrel through a problem, because it's going to be new. Like you're mm-hmm. going to implement something new. They want to barrel through something. They've got an entrepreneurial itch to them, a can do attitude. Yeah. You know the kind of people we're talking about. When, that's who you pilot with.
To loop this back around, we're talking about systems that are archaic and stuck in old mm-hmm. culture. The people who are tied to those old systems are not the ones to pilot the new system with. It's the people who want to see change happen who you pilot the new one with, so that then you can go show the positive results to the other people.
The thing about change, Napoleon said that there were always three groups of people whenever he was trying to bring change into his army. They're the people that are on board no matter what. They're just looking for a change. They're itching for a change. They're always ready. They have that entrepreneurial spirit. There's a third that are going to be negative no matter what. They do not want to change. And then there's a third that are waiting to see who wins. They're waiting to see what happened. They're waiting to be persuaded.
Wait to see which one's right. I've heard you use that illustration 733 times, and it's amazing each time.
Yeah, it's because every time you can picture faces, and every time you go, I know people
that is such a killer illustration. You should keep using that illustration.
I will keep using that illustration.
No, it's really, really
good. There's a blog post somewhere on it.
Yep, we have
a great one.
Yeah, we have a blog post on the leadership site.
But what he would say is, you don't focus on the negative. Too many times we waste way too much time focusing on those people that Now we do need to at least listen to them and, you know, pay somewhat of attention to them, but we don't need to focus there. We need to focus on the other group of people. And as our initial successes come back, and as you mentioned, tell stories and celebrate the things that will be embedded in the culture.
All right. Well, I think that is where we'll land this one. Cause, we want to stay focused on these specific topics. So coming out of this one, we've talked about auditing your systems. So going back, looking at all the systems in your organization and then figuring out, are they aligned? So auditing and alignment are two things. And then figuring out what needs to change, what needs to be lined up, what needs to go, and then who to pilot those new systems with. So those are all very key things. And again, this week is all about leadership pipeline. So on Monday, we talked about just the intro to what it is and why it's important. So if you're jumping in right now and you feel a bit lost, go back and listen to Monday's episode. I know we don't normally do Monday releases, but that's a really important one for setting the stage. In the next 3 days, we will talk about three more aspects of leadership pipeline. We'll talk about the structures, the people aspect, and the content aspect. And those will be very much like today's conversation in terms of exploring how to do it, what it is, why it's important, all of those things. The idea is that at the end of this week, you will have gotten, hopefully, a pretty in-depth look and education at what a leadership pipeline is and how you can go about starting to build one in your organization or advancing and repairing the one that you already have.
Before you go, we want to remind you about the free e-booklet, Pipeline, Succession at Every Level. If you want to develop leaders at every level of your church, this booklet is for you. To download, go to lifeway.com/leadership and select the free booklet tab at the top. Again, that's lifeway.com/leadership and select the free booklet tab at the top, and you can download it there.